The News Weekend with Richard Kluche on 680 CJOB.
What are and where are the Hudson Bay Lowlands?
The Hudson Bay Lowlands of Manitoba are located in the northeastern part of the province. If you think of Churchill, Manitoba, that is in the heart of the Hudson Bay Lowland region of the province. And then the entirety of the Hudson Bay Lowlands extends into Ontario and into Quebec. Hello, I'm Ron Thiessen. I'm the executive director of CPAWS, or Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society, the Manitoba chapter. I've been here at CPAWS for almost 20 years, and our work involves working with all involved to establish new parks and protected spaces for people and wildlife here in the province.
The Hudson Bay Lowlands in Manitoba provides nearly 250 million in economic value, and that's to the province and also globally, is the value of biodiversity, hunting, tourism. As we know, Hudson Bay Lowlands is very important for the tourism industry, but also we've tried to evaluate the values of something that's more intangible, like mental health of being in the natural areas. My name is Marina Puzarova. I'm an economist and senior policy advisor with the water team at the International Institute for Sustainable Development.
The Hudson Bay Lowlands is one of the most carbon-rich ecosystems on the planet. The reason that's so important is that keeping that carbon in the ground in the peatlands and the wetlands that are so abundant in the region help to prevent that carbon from going into the atmosphere, which would further accelerate climate change, while also those ecosystems continue to absorb carbon from the atmosphere, which is really important. In terms of biodiversity, it's home to the most southern population of polar bears in Canada. It's a rich area with caribou, Arctic fox, and over 250 species of birds.
Marina Persevova and Ron Thiessen are with us on the News Weekend. And as governments look to develop the North, there's obvious concern over the environment and the proper way to develop resources. Both say this needs to be done carefully and properly.
Well, certainly what's always a great first step when considering those types of economic opportunities is to look at the larger landscape and do large level or large scale land use planning to determine what are the best areas for economic development, what are the best areas for road networks, but also very importantly as well, what are the best areas for conservation? So to try to create that balance and to try to ensure that the biodiversity is healthy, the most important carbon areas stay in the ground, wildlife habitats, but also the impacts of economic development are mitigated.
So to the two of you, beginning with you, Ron, you can strike that balance. It's not an absolute no. It's something, have a plan and let's see where this could possibly work.
Certainly, our organization, CPAWS, is all about balance. We understand there's a quest for critical minerals, and there's a quest for many economic development opportunities. So we appreciate and understand that, at the same time wanting to ensure that that balance is struck and that nature is not forgotten in the mix.
Well, certainly there is a different costs and benefits of various actions. And if we look at different projects, we can calculate their impacts. What's important, and especially with the work that we've done, is that we look at the different benefits, at both ecological, social, and economic more broadly, so that brings in new data, so that's critical here. Of course, it's all about balance, but to make those decisions, we need to incorporate new knowledge, and that's very critical. Nature has been undervalued for so long, and that's why we've estimated the ecosystem goods and services from the Hudson Bay Lowlands to add those critical pieces of information, like value of carbon storage, value of biodiversity, which is something that's more difficult to evaluate, but there are, of course, methodologies now to do that. So, and the value that I mentioned, $250 million in economic value annually, we also consider that as a minimum because there are so many other values, and some of them are local and intangible that we need to account for as well. So yes, I agree, it's all about balance. There are different benefits and costs, and it has to be considered in the holistic way, holistic system to make those decisions.
So Ron, what are the areas we still don't have enough information on when it comes to the Hudson's Bay Lowlands?
Well, there's unfortunately, there's never enough information in the sense that there's never enough science to fully inform any decision-making process. We do have a lot of science in the region, and this report really helps with that and really helps to inform and advance that knowledge. What we do know is that it has the most southern population of polar bears in the world. We know that Manitoba is the polar bear capital of the world, and we want it to stay that way. It's an incredible economic engine in the north, the tourism around Churchill and the other regional communities, and we want to continue to support that both ecologically and economically.
Marina, what's next in all this?
Well, we hope that this report sheds some light and helps shape the conservation strategies in the region. The First Nations in the Hudson Bay Lowlands are coming together to create a vision for Indigenous Protected Area Initiative, and that's this report, this work is a piece of that puzzle, so we hope that it informs the later conversations.
Many of those conversations are centered around development, but also protecting what's there and the need to consult. To sincerely consult and listen to local communities and First Nations.
So protection is really driven by the local people and, you know, variety of stakeholders and rights holders who have a relationship with the land, and it's really guided by their vision. So I would say we as a kind of provider of knowledge gather the data and provide for decision making, but it's up to local communities, First Nations and others to take the next step.
Five First Nations are working in the area on the Kataskanan Indigenous Protected Area Initiative, and it's an amazing union of five First Nations looking at their traditional homelands and determining what areas are best suited for conservation, but also to maintain their cultures and regional lifestyles.
Persevova and Thiessen say we only have one chance to get this right.
What we want people to know is that the Manitoba Hudson Bay Lowlands covers 10% of the province. It's largely intact. It's free from development. So we have this wonderful opportunity to look at it in a way that in many areas we've lost that opportunity where development has kind of taken away that opportunity. But right now we have almost a blank slate in terms of an area that has very little development. So we can plan for the future in a healthy way that balances all interests and needs.
Conservation of the region would significantly advance the government's commitments to increase the our protection of our lands and waters. And there is an immense social, economic, and ecological value of the lowlands. And you can read more if you're interested on ISG.org, where we have the full report that provides all the different details on the area, maps, and insights also from the local residents on the values as they see it.
As governments talk in the months ahead about exerting our sovereignty in the north, building roads, rail lines, pipelines, transmission lines, mines, we need to be mindful to get it right. Our guests are not against development, they just want it done properly, mindful that wrong decisions could do more harm to the environment and the climate than good. Coming up, we take a trip to the park.
You took that risk.
I did. I went to the bank and said, how much money will you give me? I don't mind going in debt. Let's do it.
If you can see what you want to, and you're envisioning what you want, you have to go for it. Otherwise, what's the point? You know?